love what you've done with it. It looks good. So that's always a good thing. And just like Pastor Jeff said just a moment ago about you know, that your spiritual ears are open. I do the same thing. I pray that for myself. You know, like even when I'm standing behind the pulpit, I'm asking for my spiritual ears to be open as well. Sometimes I've said things that, as I'm saying it, I thought I didn't know that.
It's true.
That
yeah.
has happened many, many times. And, yeah. You know, sometimes I go back and listen to it again. I thought, oh, that was really good.
That was good, yeah.
That was really good. Rah, rah, yeah. It was so good, I gave myself an offering.
Yeah.
So I believe that we're going to, you know, glean some, not just information from the Word on this topic, but some revelation. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I believe you know exactly what we're talking about. You can fill the room with information, but it's the revelation that we're going to get from the Holy Ghost that's really what's going to count. And I believe that'll be flowing here.
Yeah.
Amen. So having said that, we're going to have to look sideways again like you used to. Just all because of a little adapter that I thought I had and did not have. I have it, but I did not bring it. So we are forced to look sideways instead of up. But by tomorrow, that should be fixed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've broken this up in different sections or in segments. And session one on the revelation of end times is understanding end time prophecy. And I believe that's important for us to talk about, because when you talk to the average believer, they might not know that you've got the ability to understand end time prophecy. I remember, you know, there's a time that I didn't really understand it, nor did I care to understand it, because I pushed it away from me. I was afraid of it. And, you know, even though I wanted to know more, I put it away just in case it would mess up my agenda. Right? I had my life planned, and I did not want God to interfere with that. And he already had, because, you know, when I was 16, I think you guys know the story, how that I was a rebel without a cause. You know, I moved from the Netherlands, from Holland to Canada with my mom and dad at 15, but now I'm 16, and I just made life extremely difficult for my mom and dad. And they finally said to me, okay, if you want to go back, you can. So I did. I had a part-time job. I made enough money for a one-way ticket home, and I took that opportunity. And I stayed with my grandma. And you know, I can just imagine what you might think about. That 60-year-old punk staying with his grandma, that's not the coolest thing that can happen. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because she put the Word in me.
Mm.
She put the Word of God in me. And, you know, I come home from an event, a party or a school event or something, and I would tell her, you know, what had happened, and she'd wag her little finger at me and say, and brought the Bible to me. And I got so, you know, frustrated with that. I said, come on, you know, not everything has to do with the Bible. But one thing, what she did do, though, is she planted the Word, right? I mean, and it's incorruptible seed.
Right.
So maybe it didn't come up immediately, but when I moved back to Canada, it sure came up in a hurry at that time. But one thing that she said to me was that her mom, so that would be my great-grandma, she had said to her, she said, not you, and perhaps not your children, but your children's children, they will see it. And I asked her, well, what does that mean? She said, well, she didn't say exactly, but it had to do with the coming of the Lord. And immediately fear grabbed me, because I'm not ready for that event. So I pushed it away, and I said to my grandma, you know what, that can be another 1,000, 2,000 years, who knows? We don't know the day nor the hour. I don't think I said that, but, you know, I pushed it away, at least for a long time away, so that I didn't have to think about it. And So she said, well, you know, that's just something to think about. And then she told me that the same lady, my great-grandma, she had also prophesied her own home going. She had told her kids, when she would be one of them, my grandma would be one of them, she had told them next week Thursday, Jesus will come and I'll be going with him at 10 o'clock in the morning, or something like that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And that happened. That happened exactly as she prophesied it. That made me even more afraid, because I'm thinking, if that one happened, there's a good chance that one could happen as well. So that's why I believe we're living in exciting days, right? Amen. Because the coming of the Lord is very near. Yeah. I believe that. And, you know, even though we are living in times, if you're looking around you and you listen to the news and you listen to people talk, there's a lot of darkness, right? There's a lot of doom and there's a lot of gloom. And if you would listen to it, it would put fear in you, you know. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a pastor. He came up to me. He wanted me to pray for him because he couldn't sleep at night, you know. So I prayed with him. And then the next week I went, I saw him again. And I asked him, how did you sleep this week? Well, he said, you know what, it would just help if I just quit watching television at night, quit watching the news, because it, you know, I'm not afraid of it, but it just gets me going, you know, gets my heart rate up. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just so much stuff out there that we don't want to get involved in, I don't think. You know, there's nothing wrong with knowing a little bit, I'm not saying that, but to dive into it until fear comes, that would not be a good thing. I believe that when you saturate yourself, immerse yourself into the Word of God, you know, then you get good news. So we do know, of course, from the Scriptures that darkness will come upon the face of the earth. Isaiah prophesied that. But he didn't just say that. He said, but the Lord will make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
Right? So there ought to be a difference between the church and the world and its system. Yeah. Right? So they may be calling doom and gloom. And, you know, we know, of course, wars and rumors of wars, no question about it. But Jesus also said, see to it that you be not troubled. Right? So that's our job. That's how you stay out of fear. That's how you stay out of worry, anxiety, and all those things. So, because what we know is the coming of the Lord is very near. Mm-hmm. And that ought to excite us.
You know,
it ought to excite us more than the people who are fearful are involved in that fear. Amen. So let's talk about understanding prophecy, because we've had that opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to understand prophecy. So we want to talk about that in some detail so that you walk away from here knowing that you've got the right to understand it. You don't have to push it away and say, well, that's just for the prophets, or that's just for people who are interested in it. I mean, you and I have the ability and the opportunity to understand end time prophecy. Jesus made it very simple in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. He said, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. So obviously, there are some signs in our times that we can become knowledgeable about that will help us understand what the future holds, right? Every generation had its own time. So, and just like Pastor Jeff said earlier on, I mean, for a time such as this, right? Could it be that we are living in a time such as this, that we are chosen to be that generation who will see the coming of the Lord?
Hallelujah.
You know?
Yeah.
I believe that's very possible.
Yeah.
So, here are six factors that will help us understand prophecy. Six factors that will help us understand prophecy. Number one, understand the nature of the Word of God. And we'll unpack it all in just a few moments. Understanding the nature of the Word of God. Number two is understanding the nature of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, his job description is to show us things to come.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That pertain with our own life. He'll show you things to come that have to do with your own personal life. But I would also include, you know, end time, what we would call end time prophecy. He will show us what the future holds. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Number three, understanding the times. You know, when we have a good understanding of the times, then it will help us to understand prophecy. So we're going to take a look at that as well. Understanding the word first fruits. When we have that understanding, when we know what first fruits is all about, and you follow that through the scriptures, it will give us a good picture of end times. You know, we'll get into that in just a few moments. Understanding dividing lines in the Bible. I'm sure, you know, you're taught well here. I'm sure you know there's dividing lines in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, Paul told Timothy, his protege, to not be shamed, you know, by rightly, or study, he said, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's been said many times, if the word can be rightly divided, it could be wrongly divided. And that's usually where the problems lie. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but if we can rightly divide the word of truth, that would also mean there's got to be some divine dividing lines in the Bible that will help us to make a difference between where we are now and the end times. Right?
Right.
It'll help us to understand end
right.
times. And then number six is understanding trigger points. And a trigger point is just something needs to happen before something else can take place. Mm-hmm. Right? And there are some very obvious trigger points in the scriptures that will function as a trigger point that we will see, you know, some prophetic event cannot happen until this happens first. So the word first is key. Mm-hmm. So using the Word of God as our source and the person of the Holy Spirit as our interpreter, we can see that there are six factors that determine our ability to understand prophecy. So let's unpack them. Number one, understand the nature of the Word of God. Did you know that the Word of God is prophetic in nature?
Right.
Right? It is.
Yeah.
It just is. You know, it has the inherent ability to bring itself to pass.
Hallelujah.
That's good to know, right? It's incorruptible seed. It's got the ability to bring itself to pass. You know, Jesus is coming again. Whether you agree with it or not, you know, if your political persuasion may not allow that, but it is going to happen. The devil may jump up and down and, you know, say it's not going to happen, but because it's been written and it's been said by God himself and by his apostles and prophets, you can bank on it, it is going to happen.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Just because... just because the word itself has the inherent capability to bring itself to pass. It's been said, I've never checked up on that, I just quote what theologians are saying, but it makes sense to me, 80% of the scriptures is prophecy. So, but then there's, so the other 20% are not necessarily prophecy in that sense, but they are promises. Right, but even a promise is really a prophecy. The difference is it needs your agreement for it to come to pass. Right, when God said, you know, when the Bible tells us, you know, you can pray and you can believe that you receive and you shall have, that is a promise. It's not a prophecy that is automatically going to happen. You know, there are promises. It needs your agreement for it to come to pass.
Right.
So. A promise, like I just said, is a personal prophecy. It needs your agreement in order to come to pass. Prophecy itself does not need your agreement, but you can align yourself.
Right?
When I found out from my grandma, that it could very well be that we are the generation that is going to usher in the coming of the Lord. I fought a tooth and nail back in those days, right? I did not want to know that. I did not want to hear that. But then I happened to listen to some preacher. He's talking about end times as well. So that gave me another dose. And I'm thinking, if this is going to happen, maybe I need to make some changes, right? So that's the only thing that you can do with prophecy. You cannot change it, but you can change you and align yourself with it so that your life and your calendar and your desires are hooked up with God's calendar. And I don't know about you, but mm-hmm. But when you do that, life becomes a lot easier.
Right.
Right? It just becomes so much easier. Rather than you fighting God and what He wants from you, you can now say, you know what, Lord, I am ready to come. Or I'm ready for you to come to us. As a matter of fact, I'm not just in a place that I would allow it, in the sense of, that I'm ready for it. Now I welcome it. I can't wait for Him to come back. Now, I can't say it was always that way. There were some other things that I needed to clean up in my life so that I could get rid of those thoughts and welcome His coming more than anything else. But I would say this, if that's your thought pattern, you can't wait for Him to come back, I believe that is a good thing. Yeah. That's a good thing. It just frees you up,
Right.
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter said this, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, that's an important statement. And he compares the experience that he had to the Word of God. And he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He had a great experience. Right. He was on the mountain with Jesus, James, and John. Remember that? And he saw Jesus being transfigured right in front of their eyes. And he saw Elijah. He saw Moses. And he blurted out, man, let's have a camp meeting right here. This is a great place. Let's stay here for a while. And then he heard God's voice booming from heaven. This is my son. Listen to him. So I don't know about you, but you could build a ministry on that. Couldn't you, right? On that experience. You could go around the world and say, I heard God's voice from heaven talking about Jesus, this is Him. But He made it very clear, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That experience is great, but we've got something greater yet, and that is the written Word of God.
Amen.
And how many that's quite important, because you can hear the voice of God, but you could miss it. Right. Obviously, there was an experience that Jesus had. He spoke to the Jewish people, and God's voice came from heaven as well. That I will glorify you. I will glorify it again. He said. Some people thought it thundered. Our day and age, we might think, it must have been the jet.
Yeah.
Right. So you could miss it that way. So. There is a more sure word of prophecy that we do well to pay attention, to take heed to it. Let me make sure that I read it, the whole thing. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. So that's what happens, right? When you pay attention to the Word of God, it's got the inherent ability to bring itself to pass. But how it works is it works inside of your heart. And when you listen to it, it's just like light begins to shine, right? You don't see the full light at 12 o'clock, but it's like dawn. You see a little glimpse, and it gets brighter, and it gets brighter, and it gets brighter. And, of course, we know it's going to be brighter until that perfect day.
Right.
Praise the Lord. There we go. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Number two. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself or on His own authority. But whatever He shall hear, that He shall speak. And he will show you things to come. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is very much involved in revealing unto us what is about to take place. Right? And we have to pay attention to, we've got to pay attention to not only what the Holy Spirit is telling you, but I would say there is a consensus around the world. It seems to me that we're living in the end, right? We're living in the last days. Anybody with, you know, with a little bit of honesty, with a little bit of common sense, right, would know that this is not normal. This is not the way it has always been. We are living in the last of the last days. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the one and only agent who can give the needed insight into the future. He has given us specific keys to unlock the mystery codes and help us solve the puzzle. And with those codes, there are specific words, right? There are specific words in the scripture that will help us. Like they are, you know, sometimes you kind of miss it, you read over it. But that's what a mystery is, right? A mystery is not necessarily something you're not supposed to know. That's how I used to understand it. Right? That makes sense, right? Like a mystery is something you're not supposed to know. But we found out that a mystery is something that when you hear it, you got to pay attention to it because it is specifically for you. Amen. And so we're living in the church age, or like I've heard one pastor say, this is the age of the mystery. So we got to pay attention to that. And there are specific codes, and sometimes you read it and you kind of read right over it because you didn't stop and meditate on it, you know. But after a while, it begins to dawn, you know. This is a mystery. Like, you remember when Paul said, we'll get into that hopefully over the weekend. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, right? And that's not a nursery scripture. Right, that is a scripture that is a mystery. But you could read it and not get it. You could read it and not see it. Because that's what a mystery is. You know, you can, like, it's only open. It only opens up for those who are interested in it, who open up their hearts and say, Lord, let me understand your mysteries. I'm asking you for wisdom to see what you need me to see. Right, and then things begin to open up. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, who respect Him. You know, amen.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, amen.
Yep. Understanding time, number three. So it's possible for us to understand time, so that just like the children of Issachar, you know what to do during the time. It's written about the children of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Is that interesting? Right? When you understand the time, then you will know what to do. Let's make it real simple. Right? Like, let's say that you wake up in the morning. You know, you wake up and what you might call the middle of the night, but you don't know if it's the middle of the night. You have no idea. What's the first thing you normally do? You look at the clock, right? And whatever the clock dictates, or whatever the clock says, will dictate to you what you're going to do next. If it happens to be 2 o'clock in the morning, you can turn over and go back to sleep. But if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you might have to get ready for work or for whatever you're planning on doing for the day. So that time will dictate to you what you're supposed to do. But if you don't know the time, if you would not have a clock, right? Like, you'd be kind of walking around not really knowing, am I supposed to get up? You know, can I go to the bathroom? Can I go back to bed? What am I supposed to do? So that's why everybody's got a clock in their bedroom. Interesting, isn't it? So if you can see that on a small scale, you can certainly understand that on a larger scale, if you know what time it is, then you will know what to do. If you know that we're living in the end times, you know that you have to make specific preparation for it. Amen. Right. Yeah. And if you do, you're going to help other people as well. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the amazing thing. Like, notice what happened here. To know, they had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So if you know and understand the times, it's going to put you in a position that you're in command, and you know what to do.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I think it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of liken it to when there's an accident. You know, I've seen some accidents that if you look at the people, what they do. If you know what time it is, that you know, if you know what to do with the time, then you will take authority. You'll take charge, right? Like if you're an EMT or if you're a police officer, you know, even if you're not on duty, you will know what to do with the time, and people will move away from you to let you do what you're supposed to do, because you know what time it is. You know it's an emergency. You know something needs to happen.
Right.
Something needs to happen. So you can be that type of a person in these last days, but everybody else is walking around and they put their hands on their mouth because they feel ashamed. They don't know what to do, what's going on. And I would submit to you right now, we are in that time, right? That people, you know, we've come through a COVID period. Nobody knows what to do. One person says this, somebody else will say something totally the opposite. It's kind of chaotic. But we know what we're dealing with. We know what to do in these last days.
Right.
Let me give you a few examples. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Paul said, and that knowing the time. So you might say, well, I don't know the time. You know, well, then you may want to change what you've been saying and say like, Paul, I know the time. I know what time it is. It's kind of the same thing. My sheep know my voice. You know, I've talked to people and they've said to me many times, I just can't seem to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, I say, you may want to change what you're saying, because Jesus said that my sheep will hear my voice.
Amen.
You know, and so if you begin to say, I do know my shepherd, I do know his voice, then you're building faith in your heart so that you can actually hear him. Amen. If you keep saying, I don't hear the voice of the Lord, you know, it's a mystery to me. Well, then you won't hear it. You won't be able to hear him clearly, at least. You may hear him, but you don't know. You're not able to distinguish it from the other voices. Amen. So this would be the same thing. Knowing the time, that now it is high time. So it's a very specific time.
Mm-hmm.
To awake out of sleep. Now, would you say that's true?
Right.
Would you say that the Christian world needs to awake out of sleep? There's a lot of slumbering people out there, right? They don't know what to do. Well, Jesus could come back, but it could be another 2,000, 3,000 years. We don't know, you know. So when they keep talking that way and they keep living their own lives the same way, they want to go back to how it used to be before COVID. It's not going to happen. It's, you know, it's changed. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed.
Hallelujah.
Now, I used to really wonder about the scripture. I could not get this. You know, like, I thought we were already saved. You know, so, like, how can you say our salvation is now nearer? But, again, you're taught well here, so you probably already know there's different types of salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. That's got to do with your spirit. That's already happened. That's past tense. You're born again. Your sins have been forgiven. That's past tense. But then there's also an ongoing salvation that we would call, it's the transformation or the salvation of your soul. Amen. The transformation and by the renewing of your mind. But how many of you know there's still a salvation to come, which has to do with our physical bodies, when they are going to be redeemed, and when they are going to be resurrected. That's the salvation that Paul is referring to here. Amen. So that's future. Luke chapter 19, verse 42, Jesus said this about the city of Jerusalem, saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. That's kind of sad, right? That when he came to his own and they did not receive him because they did not understand that it was their day. I don't know about you, but I would feel sad if I would not know what, you know, what my day is, right? Like when I'm supposed to shine. Right? It's kind of like a drama. Have you ever, I don't know, if, you know, with kids' dramas, I've been to many, many plays at school. And usually there's always a kid, you know, that misses his cue. So everybody has done their part, right? They've sang or they're supposed to do now something else just because, you know, you can follow it in your in your schedule. And then there's this awkward moment of dead space and nothing is happening. And you see the teacher going over, whispering something. Oh, yeah. And then the guy who's supposed to do something, he'll show up. And the whole crowd laughs because it's cute. So, but on this stage, I don't want to miss my cue. Amen. How about you?
I don't want
to miss my cue. Yeah. I want to know what's going on. We already read Matthew chapter 16. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 has got to do with time as well. Yeah, talking about Jesus, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, the word worlds literally means many times in the New Testament, when you see the word world, it means ages or dispensations. So God deals with ages and with dispensations, and, you know, we have to be knowledgeable about that. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the world, same thing, you know, that the worlds, the ages, the dispensations were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Number four, understanding first fruits. Now, first fruits really has to do with it's a smaller measure of a great, it's a representation of a greater thing. Right? So 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 23, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, meaning those who have died during the church age. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they who are Christ at his coming. So you could see from this scripture that the resurrection of Jesus is a first fruit, right? So it serves, it helps us to serve, you know, as a model or as a template for what is going to happen in the future when the church is going to be resurrected and be raised from the dead as well. Very helpful. Because I don't know about you, but I've heard so many different ways that the rapture is going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can just find out so many different ways. All you've got to do is go to YouTube and you find out this preacher says this and this preacher says this of how the rapture is going to happen. Well, it's only going to be in one way. So the only template that we have would be the resurrection of Jesus because he's the first fruits.
Right.
So that would mean we're going to have to pay close attention and have a detailed picture of what happened during the resurrection of Jesus. Would you agree with that? And when you see what happened during that time, you know, like not just the fact that he was raised from the dead, but, you know, many other people were raised from the dead at the same time and appeared unto many. Ooh, I tell you what,
right?
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that our resurrection, the resurrection of the church, is going to be very similar? Well, I think we're going to find out. That's exactly how it is going to happen. So first fruits includes prototypes. It includes templates and models that serve as examples to predict what the future is going to hold, what the future is going to be like. Because God, you know, he's faithful.
Yeah.
And you know what that means? You know, faithful, of course, means that he's loyal. But if you're a faithful person, you're a very predictable person.
Right.
Like I always think of my wife, she's a very faithful person. She is. Amen. But not only is she loyal, but I can predict almost to a T what she's going to say next, how she's going to act, what she's going to do, because she's a very predictable person, because she's faithful. So you can say the same thing about God. So many people say, well, God, you know, works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. You've heard that said. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, you never know what he's going to do. He's just full of all these little different surprises. Now, he may be when it comes to how he's going to bless you, but you may as well know this. He's very, very predictable. Because how he acted in the past, that's how he's going to be, that's how he's going to act in the future. You know, so he can use past events, you know, as a first fruit.
Right.
And first fruits as past events, like this is what he said. Remember the former things of old in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. With other words, you can go to past events and they will serve as models of how he's going to act in the future. You can predict the future by what has happened in the past. Well, we know that Jesus made this statement. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the days of the Son of Man. So if you want to know what that period, that's the tribulation period, if you want to know what that looks like, all you got to do is go to Noah's flood and find out what happened, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, you can't be flippant about it. You got to really, you know, study it. The more you study, you think, whoa, you know. And then our time, because we're not quite in the tribulation period, but you can see some of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Amen. I was talking, you know, I brought in my vehicle, you know, to a gentleman. He's a Christian, but he's a backslidden Christian, you know. But he knows enough. Right, that he told me, like I brought my car in for an oil change, and he said, man, he said, I've always wondered, you know, this is just right when COVID began, right? And he said, I've always wondered how you can get into the tribulation period, you know, but he said, man, he said, it sure didn't take much, did it?
Yeah.
I said, well, exactly. I don't think this is the tribulation period, but it's certainly a sign, that there's certainly a symptom of it at least. Right, and I always wanted as well, because it looks like such a strange time, the tribulation period. I think, well, how's that? You know, how are we going to transition from where we are into a time like that? How's the world going to do that? Well, obviously, it didn't take much. A little bit of fear,
yeah.
Right? A little bit of fear, anxiety. You know, some fake news going around, and all of a sudden, oh, I tell you what, man, this is just bizarre. So that's why in theology, eschatology, what we're talking about is eschatology. There's such a thing as the law of double reference, meaning if something has happened in the past, you can bank on this, it's going to happen again, right? Usually to a higher degree, but it's going to happen again. Jesus made a statement like that. You can use the Christmas story, right? Would you agree with me? That's a pretty significant event in God's view, at least, you know, when Jesus came to earth. So you could use that story as a model of what's going to happen. The interesting part is that people knew about Jesus' first coming, right? There were angels. The shepherds might not have known, but there was some angelic visitation, some angelic activity going on. Mm-hmm. So the shepherds knew it. They knew exactly where he was. They knew exactly where to find him. We got a gentleman by the name of Simeon. He knew exactly. Now, he didn't know the whole story, right? But it started out very small. He's, you know, he must have heard from the Spirit, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. So he may not have known the whole picture at the time. He may not have known where, when, and how. But he did know this at least. I'm not going to die until I see the Messiah. Is it possible there's going to be a group of people on the earth who will just know they're not going to die until they see the coming of the Lord? Amen. Very possible. And then when Jesus did come on the earth, then he knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly who he was and where he was. So I think that will be true for our day and age as well. We know about Anna. She was a prophetess. She knew about the coming of the Lord as well. Yeah. Then all the people who were supposed to know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had no idea. Yeah. they didn't know. They could have known because the wise men who did not know the whole picture either, they just saw a sign. Mm-hmm. Right? But the sign was enough for them to make a long journey. They didn't know the whole picture, but they knew there's a king in Israel. We don't know who he is, we don't know where he is, but we have seen a sign in the heavens. So, would you agree with me? That's been prophesied, there'll be signs in the heavens. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Well, that sounds like judgment, but the truth of the matter is that the next verse in Acts talks about that, and it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yeah. So those are revival scriptures.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Those are really revival scriptures. So we're in for a ride, I believe.
Amen.
We're in for a ride. So that's why Hallelujah. We also know that history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Always. Okay. The law, I don't want to get into that because we're running out of time. But history does repeat itself. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's nothing, no new thing under the sun. Hmm. So that may sound very depressing, but all we know here is, whatever has happened, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. So prophecy is not just linear, but it is very much circular. Right? In our thinking, in Western thinking, there's an end and there's a beginning. We think that way, from the end to the beginning, or from the beginning to the end, and then we start over. But in God's thinking, prophecy is very much circular. It goes around and it gets to the same point where you started, and it's going to go again the same circle, praise the Lord. But the next time when you get there, it's going to be bigger and better, usually.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Next, dividing lines in the Bible. Number 5, dividing lines in the Bible, because I want to close pretty quick. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, like I stated earlier, if there are dividing lines, if we are supposed to divide the word of truth correctly, that would mean there's got to be some divine dividing lines within the scripture. The cross of Calvary would be really obvious to me, because everything before the cross is different, paints a different picture than after the cross. Would you agree?
Right.
Yeah. We have entire church groups and denominations who are still living as though we are before the cross. Right? In the denomination that I was in, we would read the Ten Commandments every Sunday, just to pound in one more time how sinful we are. Right? Yeah, it was pounded in us. We are sinners. We are sinners. And they read the Ten Commandments. And that was really the thrust of the whole service. And then at the end, we would read 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us all sins. So he kind of worked through that cycle, but it didn't really change us. It didn't change us. So, and the reason being is because we were focused on Old Testament. We had to move over to the New Testament, where if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you're saved, right? But we didn't know that. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 32, that's a very important dividing line. Don't give any offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Mm-hmm. That's a divine dividing line. Mm-hmm. God recognizes three groups of people, and has dealings with these three groups of people. Mm-hmm. So there's an end time for the nation of Israel, which is different than from the church. Right? It's totally different.
Yeah.
So you don't really fit. Let me get ahead of myself here. That's okay. You don't really fit in Matthew chapter 24.
Right.
You don't fit there. Now, you can make yourself fit there. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. I remember I bought a little jigsaw puzzle with my daughter, Chloe. She was 4. It said ages 3 and up. I thought, well, we ought to be able to figure this one out. So we made it with the two of us. And the last piece didn't seem to fit. And so I used my fist as a hammer, and I pounded it in. And it stuck, right? So I'm looking at it. And I looked at the picture on the box. That's why you have a box. I looked at the box and it's almost right, but not quite. I said, oh, okay, I did something wrong. So I flipped it around and now I had the right picture. So you could make yourself fit anywhere in the Bible, but we got to realize this. Everything in the Bible is for you, but not everything in the Bible is about you. Yeah. And it's so difficult for Christians to grasp because it ought to be all about us. But it's not. It's not. Not everything is right. About us. Everything is for us. With other words, you can get a lot out of Matthew chapter 24, but it is specifically written as a prophecy to warn the nation of Israel of what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. They may not zoom in at this moment or be so keen on it now, but there's a time coming. They will read it. Right? Even Jesus said, let him who reads understand. So, yeah. There's a time coming that they will read it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, I found it a very helpful dividing line where Jesus told John, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Mm-hmm. So that's a dividing line.
Right.
Right? Yeah. The things which you have seen or the things which are. Or which you have seen, sorry, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, after these things, chronological order,
right.
a door was opened unto me in heaven, and I heard a voice, behold, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Mm. So from Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 on are the things which must be hereafter. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is the things which are. It's the church age, right? Where Jesus had seven messages to seven different churches. That's where we are now. But that's coming to an end. The church age is going to come to a close and a door will open up into heaven. We're going to be transported to heaven and from there we will see the things which must be hereafter. So we're not in that time right now. You know, because it's going to be after the church age.
Right.
I think it helps a lot.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last but not least, trigger points in prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise
first. Hallelujah.
First. So, trigger points. Meaning this, that must happen before something else comes.
Right.
Right? And before we, which are alive and remain, are going to be changed.
Right.
Right? So nothing can happen until this happens first.
Now, first.
Once that happens, once this has happened, then the other things can take place.
Right.
So the whole, what we call rapture, is an event. Right? It's not in the twinkling of an eye, like so many people believe. It's not in the twinkling of an eye, because it is a process. And the process includes that the dead in Christ are going to be rise. They're going to rise, be resurrected first. It didn't say they're going to be raptured first. It says they're going to be resurrected first. So can you imagine? Right? Can you imagine every person, the dead in Christ, that means everyone who is born again during the church age and has died. There's a lot of people. It includes Paul, Peter, James, John Calvin, Smith Wigglesworth, Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts. All these people, they're going to be resurrected first. Who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah.
And then the change and the focus changes on us, we which are alive. So, you know, we're going to talk about that later. I just wanted you to see that this must happen first. Mm-hmm. That Paul also said there must come a falling away first. So you got to know what the falling away is. Otherwise, you know, the word falling away literally means a divorce. It's a separation. It's a departure. That's what it is. The departure of the church. Nothing can happen until the church has departed from the earth. And then something else can take place. Praise the Lord. All right.
Hallelujah.
That's session number one.
Amen.
I trust you got something out of it. I did it.
That's good. Amen.
It's good to be reminded once again. I'm going to... We'll take a quick little break.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll start up with... you know, with number two, but before we do, if there are any questions or so on what we talked about, then I'll be more than happy to answer them, if I can. Okay?
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Any bathroom breaks?
Amen. I'll just...
drink of water.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Make a coffee, that's great. Good idea.
No.